Holy Spirit, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Tonight, Lord, come and be everything in our lives. Everything we ever think of. Everything we ever imagine. Come and make my life your home. Come and be everything I ever thought I know. Search me through and through till my life becomes a home for you. Come and make my heart your own. Come and be everything I ever thought I know. Oh God, search me through and through till my heart becomes a home. A home, a home for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's welcome our man of God for tonight.
Hallelujah. Shall we lift up our hands? Holy Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that indeed you are God and you have chosen ones like us to be your children. Of all that you created, you have enumerated man to be a representative of the Godhead. That we are the sole representative of God on earth. The Bible says that you created us in your image and your likeness. Father, we are grateful. Tonight, let your spirit saturate this entire place. Be chairman of this meeting tonight. Teach us, O God, you are the teacher. Your word says you will not leave us as orphans, Lord. You will send us an advocate, the Holy Spirit. He shall teach us. He shall comfort us. Holy Spirit, we pray that tonight you shall teach us. Teach us of your word. Teach us of the efficacy of the blood and the cross. Stir up a heart in us, O God, that we will know indeed you have visited us tonight. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So, for about a week now, I've been musing about the cross. And I've been asking God exactly to just, I know you people have heard a lot about the cross, but the Lord should just share something with me that will also be a blessing unto me. Amen. That we'll have an amazing time in the presence of the Lord, speaking and learning about the cross. Hello. And the Lord was gracious to share. I don't know if I can go through all. And I'm praying that as the Lord grants me grace, I can just share a few. And maybe one other opportunity we'll be able to go through the rest. Hallelujah. How many of us know what the cross is? I know it sounds like an easy answer, but because you are in church, you know it's not an easy answer. But you personally, what is the cross to you? What is the cross to you? Just think about it, you know. Just think about it. When the Bible says that if any man ought to follow him, let him deny himself and take up his cross. What Jesus was being very specific to you. Amen. Let's read Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Hallelujah. Did you see that the Bible said, "Let him take up the cross and follow me"? Hello. Did he say take up the cross? What did he say? You know, there's a definite cross, which is the cross that we all know. But when it comes to, you say, if any man wants to follow after me, let him take up what? His cross and follow me. And many of us, when we interpret that, we always, you know, assume that there's another device of the cross that is ours. But we fail to understand what the cross is to Jesus. Because we are coming after him. He's already carrying one. Are we getting it? And now he's saying, "Yo, if you're going to follow me, please take yours." He knows they take their cross. Prior to Jesus' time, you know, the cross has been in existence before. Hello? Let me just give a brief history about the cross. It is said that the earliest depiction of the cross, the earliest depiction of the cross was in the Assyrian and Babylonian era. Hello? And they were used by the Persians in the 6th century BC, before Christ. Hello? Then Alexandria, the great conqueror, went about conquering. You know, Alexandria, when I watch his history, I have a TV account, a streaming account called Curiosity Channel, and they say a lot of history. You know, when I was watching, it's one of, if you want to learn, everybody subscribes to Curiosity Channel. It's very inexpensive. You will pay $15 for Netflix. It's like $4 a month. A year, I paid like $36 or something like that. So, it was telling me about the conquest of Alexander the Great. And what he does is that he's very smart. When he gets to a place, and when he notices anything that is nice about the culture of the place, he keeps it. Or he takes something from it. The only difference is that when he got to Babylon, it was so nice that he felt that if he let go, the people would rebuild their civilization. So, he bent the whole Babylon down. So, whenever he goes to different places, he sees things that is being done and they adopt it. And so the Persians and then the Assyrians, they had a system of torturing people that looked like, that was like in the form of the cross or the crucifixion. Hello? And so Alexander the Great also was adopted that way. And he brought it to the Middle Eastern part of the Mediterranean, where we call today Middle East. Amen? In the 4th century BC. Then the Phoenicians, they also took it and brought it to Rome in the 10th century BC. And the Romans, when they got hold of that particular mode of torturing, it is said that they perfected it for how many years? 500 years before Jesus Christ came. They had 500 years of rehearsing it well. So what the Phoenicians, what the Assyrians, what the Babylonians knew how to do, the Romans perfected it. They had to make sure that by the time you get to the cross, there's a stipulated time that you must die. They can't leave you overnight. They had made sure that before they get to the cross, they have gotten into the position or the physical composition where you will die before they close the day. And many of you have seen the Passion of Christ. They have something called scourging. They beat. And they were explaining what it was, the whip they used. It actually is like a horse whip, but with nylon and with metal, edges weaved with it. Very blunt metal edges. And sometimes, some of them even have spikes. And when they are scourging the people, they are beating them. They tie them to a pole, hook their hands and their legs. Wherefore you can't move or you can't even turn. And what they do is that the one who is administering that judgment will hold the whip, wind it up, and aim at the backside of whoever is being beaten. And when the whip touches the body, the metallic parts that have been sewn into the whip latches onto the body. The skin. When it latches onto the skin, Then he pulls it. Immediately he pulls it. You know, when it pierces the skin, it touches tissues and muscles. So when they pull it with such force, I know you're getting the picture. It tears the skin. And sometimes it tears and breaks arteries and veins. And they don't do it once. Pa, and they are done. They will beat the person until enough blood oozes out of the person. They kept beating Jesus over and over and over. See, Jesus was weeping like a baby. Many of you, when you think of Jesus, you think that not a bema into a soon. No. He wept like the weakest of us will. So the Romans mostly had perfected this art of crucifying people. And there were a group of people that they used to do these things to. One, slaves. You see, I read one account of why the Romans did that to slaves. The Roman Empire thrived on slavery. They were quite small, but they have a lot of slaves. And what they do was that in order to control that number of slaves, they must instill some level of fear. And so if one slave decides to rebel or kills a Roman citizen, every slave in the household where that slave did will be killed by crucifixion. Every slave, whether they knew about it or they didn't know about it, they will kill them. See, it's a very powerful way to send a message. Yeah. There came a time where a man, I've forgotten the name they gave him, he's a Roman senator. He had about 140 slaves, and one of them killed him. And he came to the Senate to discuss whether it is right to kill all the 140. And there was an argument for the motion that if they do not instill this discipline, there are some who overlook the plot of others to kill their masters. And even they who turn the blind eye and are not able to discern the wicked ways of their fellow slaves, they deserve to die as well. So they killed the 140 slaves because one man died, and their children because they dared to kill one man. They hung all of them. Hallelujah. It's a very, very painful way to die. Second, people were disgraced soldiers. Soldiers who were given a task to go to war. And when they go to war, maybe they were defeated or disgraced, or they could not achieve the target for which they were sent to. Sometimes they were subjected to what? Crucifixion. Third are foreigners and spies. People who come into the country to spy on behalf of other nations. Fourth, guess the people. Christians. Christians. You and I sitting here. Candidates. Amen. Then number five, rebels and insurrectionists. Rebels and insurrections are people who rebel against the state in picking up arms to also try and overtake the arms of government in order to establish their own. Amen. Because in Jerusalem, for instance, the Roman government had come and they imposed their rule over the land. And so for that reason, there were people like Barnabas, the one that was let go. They formed like an insurrection group, and then they want to now take back the nation on account of the people. And when those have to fall across, this is what they do to them, to send a signal to the rest of the people. Amen. Then you begin to wonder, how did Jesus Christ fit any of these things? But many of you know the story too well, so that's why you're looking at me as you are. But you see, when the cross was a symbol or a transition into death, today, unfortunately, many of us have begun to see the cross more like a relic and an ornament. Or beauty. And we are losing the power of the cross. No. We are so eager to wear the cross upon our neck. Like, oh wow. In the early days, you dare not. Before the 200, the cross was not as we use it today. I think I taught here the earliest symbol of Christianity was what? Anybody apart from my wife. And whatever you are copying from your notes I gave you in the car. In the room, sorry. Anybody? Guess. You just guess. The Star of David. Any other person? Guess. The Reverend says what? It's actually the fish. Pardon? It's actually the fish. I've said the same before. How many of you remember? How many of you remember? Wow. That means I've not said it here before. It's actually the fish. The symbol of the fish. You know, what did Jesus Christ call them to do? The disciples to do? Pardon? Fishers of men. There is a church historian called Tertullian. Also, for welcome. Tertullian. Amen. In the year AD 160, they used to call it the Ichthus. I-C-T-H-U-S. And Tertullian said, just as water sustains fish, we little fishes, after the image of our Ichthus, Jesus Christ, are born in water. He's talking about the baptism. That's how we are first born. Amen. And so now, in the early Christian church, the first symbol that they were using to actually denote they were Christians is the symbol of the fish. And when they meet you and they want to find out whether you are part of us, all they draw is one side of the fish. And they wait to see. If you don't know what it's about, they won't mind you. They will know how to deal with you. But a true believer, who is a follower of Jesus Christ, once they put that marker like this, I'll also come and I'll do this on the floor. Did you see the image? Once the marker on the floor, if you can show, I do like a semicircle this way. If I meet you in town and I draw this mark on the floor, you just have to do another semicircle like that. See how simple it was? The fish. In the first church, the church that they said was pastored by James, some of the relics they found and even the things on the wall was the symbol of the fish. And I was wondering why. Until I remember the scripture that says that the Lord called us to be fishers of men. And so now, during persecution, it became like a password. When they meet you and they want to know truly you're a believer, this man is going to be very police officer. Shall I be? Then as though I'm talking, I just knew then I draw on the floor. If you also believe that, oh, you understand the code, you also come, you draw it. My brother. Hello. Because some of us there, if they look at your face, we assume you're a Christian. Death. Then back to us today, there are many who look like Christians but are not. Amen. Oh, amen. So, Constantine, many of you know of him, in the Battle of the Vilian Bridge, the reason why the cross now became a symbol that is so we are so proud to now wear today is because of Constantine. It is said that he had a war to fight called the Battle of the Milvian Bridge. And in the vision one day, he claims that he had a vision, and in the vision, he saw a symbol of the cross. And the symbol of the cross, there was a sentence written above which was translated, "By this sign you shall conquer." Hello? And so now when he went to war and he was able to conquer, he attributed that victory to the cross. And from that very moment, he made Christianity, it led to his conversion as a Christian. And the symbol of the cross became a symbol of victory, a symbol of pride in the land. Because to him, all his, what do you call that thing, shields, all of them had the cross on it. And the Christians were now being celebrated now. They were now being public. Because prior to Constantine, they were being killed, they were being massacred, they were being butchered, and constantly on the cross. For 1,000 years, the Romans have perfected the act of the cross. 500 years before Jesus and 500 years after Jesus. But that day, Constantine said, no, by this time, the Lord has given victory. And then the cross now became a symbol of pride. So now Christians were the ones who were running the affairs of the state. You had more, in quote, rust if you had a symbol of the cross on. Wow, you are part of Emperor Constantine's people. Oh, wow. So that the cross moved from the place of death to now become an ornament of power, a relic of pride. And that message has transcended the years to today. The Christians know the cross, but we don't know the power of the cross. It has become an earring to us. a necklace to us, a tattoo to us. But we have forgotten what the cross meant to Jesus when he said, if any man wishes to come after me, let him take what? The cross. Or? No. His cross and follow me. Now let me come here. In the Roman era, at that time, because of conquest, wood was very, very scarce. So they don't crucify people with new cross. The reason why wood was scarce, God, they were doing a lot of siege. You know what siege is? When you're trying to attack a nation, most nations are walled. So they say cities are walled. And when they are trying to attack it, and the people are now enclosed, like the Jericho wall. When they are enclosed, all they do, they lay siege around them and cut their supplies. Until they are able to, they have pressure from inside to open their gates, or they just break it. And so they build siege machines, where they are able to shoot catapults and rocks to break the walls. And so wasting wood on a common criminal was unwise. And so nobody really actually carries the full cross. They carry just the arm of the cross. Hello. After they crucify somebody, they remove the whole cross, and the main pole is always left at the place of where the crucifixion is. But when you are scourged, you carry your cross from where you were beaten and tortured to wherever you be crucified. Just the arm of it. Look at the amount of beating that Jesus Christ went. Do you think he could have carried the kind of cross that we think he carried? They never carried a full cross. The word cross, what we know today as cross, is staro in the Greek word. Staro. S-T-A-U-R-O-S. Staros. Sorry. Let me just be very firm about that. Yeah, S-T-A-U-R-O-S. Staros. The Latin word is crux. C-R-U-X. C-R-U-X. And that's what's translated what today as what? Cross in English. The same word that we get crux is the same word we get crucify from. The crux of the matter. Hallelujah. Then if you look at the cross, it looks like it is an intersection of two points. Straight lines. Amen. It's an intersection of two lines. Any man who was crucified on the cross came with a part of the cross, and he came to enjoin with another part of the cross, which was already bearing the remains of someone before. When blessing hung upon the cross, her back has been torn apart, blood oozing from her back. So when Prince comes with his, it comes and joins also the remains of the death or the remains of blessing who has passed. So when Jesus Christ says that if any man wishes to come after me, and he has already been on a cross or on the cross, the same place that Jesus Christ ended up dying is the same place that you also must. But you must come with your own version of the cross. You must come with your own cross. And when you come and you are placed upon that same pole, mind you are not just on that cross alone. The you that you have come to enjoin to the cross comes to meet the remnant of Jesus Christ upon the pole. Nobody goes to the cross alone. Jesus is always with that person. For many of us, walking there seems like a very lonely journey. The cross always has the remnant of Jesus Christ, because he was there before you. The fact that you are new to die, you are the latest person to come and die, does not mean that you get a new cross. You are a criminal. So we now go, oh, it's not. He might not like it. It's too dead. He might not like his cross, because it has been used before. Nah. Hallelujah. Look at all that Jesus Christ had to go through just to get himself at that point. I always used to wonder, why didn't the Lord just say, you know what, from today, I am God. If I speak, it is supreme, paramount. All your sins are forgiven. Nobody dies. Nobody does anything. We have forgotten sin. You, for see, from today, you will never forget, remember sin again. Amen. For see, just talking about, so I don't remember anything. Me and the spirit, that's how our problem have created the earth. But he's God. He's just. He said, instead, Let me look for the worst way possible to pay for a crime. Hello. Bible says that cursed is any man who hangs upon a tree. In the Old Testament, there was nothing like the word cross for the kind of culture that they were in. I told that it was adopted from the Assyrians, the Babylonians, to the Persians, to Alexander, to what? Rome. Amen? And so whenever they did anything of such stuff, we're talking about a tree, hanging on a tree, or hanging on a pole. Amen? Or staking people. Or what we call, there was a word, apart from staking. Is it a gallows? I've forgotten the word. But then they would just hang you, impale you upon a stick or wood. Yeah, wood. So cursed be any man who hangs on a tree. And the Bible said that Jesus Christ became what? Sin. For our sake. He was not a sinner. Okay, let's read the scriptures. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 21. And our main text we'll read about will be in Isaiah chapter 53. Right. Let's read Deuteronomy 21 verse 18 downwards. It says, if any man has a stubborn and rebellious son, are there some here? If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then this father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gates of his city, and they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones, so that they shall put away the evil from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear. Amen. Oh, amen. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death and is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on a tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance for his. For he who is hanged is accursed. Two things I wanted to point out in this scripture. One of the reasons they killed Jesus was because they thought they called him part of the rebels. He was a rebellion. He was a rebel as opposed to the system of the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, and then the Sadducees. Isaiah chapter 53 says that he was counted amongst the rebels. If you read the account of Luke, I think Luke chapter 7 or Luke chapter 17, they said that he came and he was eating and drinking with who? Sinners. I didn't think that eating and drink, gluttony and being drunk or drunkard deserves punishment such as death. You know, if this were allowed, till you are dead. Crab, dead. You just kill you for fun. Just for fun. Dead. A stubborn son or child. Your parents are talking to you, you are not minding them. See, I'm tired. I'm just tired. Elders, this my son has no respect. So why? We've spoken to won't he? We'll speak to you, you will not listen. The next week they'll just drag you. So we want to go and buy something. Drag you straight to the city gate. That's him. Everybody's waiting with a stone. Stone everything out of you. And your father dead. Then he says that if any man does any sin that is deserves of death, he must be what? Hang on a tree. But before he must not reach day. After they hang, dude must die that day and he must be buried. Lest he does what? Defiles the land. Hello. I am telling you of a truth. The death of the cross is not a nice death at all. But the Lord says, you sitting here, you must carry your own. You see, prior to the death of Jesus Christ, the cross The crucifixion was always imposed. It was forced on people. But afterwards, we, the Lord is telling us, we must volunteer to die on the cross. We must volunteer. You shouldn't be forced again. That is why you remember the book of Fox's Book of Matter. Pastor Kabu was sharing about it. When Peter was escaping, he got to the gate. The Lord Jesus Christ said, oh boy, where are you going? We are agreed. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. He went back and he said, you know what? I tried to run, but right now, crucify me. Don't even crucify me the normal way. Turn me upside down. Do you know how difficult that one was? Blood oozed from his feet into his head. Choked him. That was Peter's cross. You say, oh, be there. So you see how worthless it is to you how we treat the cross. By how we treat the cross. Amen. Oh, amen. It was the worst way to die. Thank you. In order for a man to actually be on the cross, the man must have done the worst thing possible. But what was the worst thing that Jesus Christ did? What did he do? Any? Nothing. Nothing. But it's because of the sins that he came to take away. It must also be met by the worst and harshest form of punishment there was then. And so even though he committed no sin requiring him to undergo such a judgment, he had to go through the worst of judgment because he knew that we would do that. Our fornication, our stealing, our adultery, every single thing you can think of, Jesus Christ had to undergo through that the worst, harshest possible punishment just so that we can stand here and be justified when we mention his name. And the worst part of it, I'm telling you that the crushing of Jesus Christ on the cross did not pain him as much as when the Father rejected him. He has never ever been separated from the Father before. Never. But on our account, he had to. He did not say, my Lord, why have you forsaken him? When they were beating him. But when there was separation, it was not as though God left him for a time. God rejected him. Isaiah 3, let's go. Hey, was God wicked? No, God was not wicked. Because the Lord, the Son had now become what? Sin. And God can never look on sin, even if you are Jesus. So be careful, you blaspheme. Isaiah 53. Okay, let's start from 52 verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred. Talk about his figure. His figure was marred. Do you know what marred means? Hello? Do you know what marred means? He was disfigured. More than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. It means that if you saw Jesus Christ 2 days before, or some hours before, and they told you that this person is Jesus, you probably won't believe it. They beat him to the extent that you cannot recognize that this is Jesus. What did he do? Nothing. Paying for something that he did nothing. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Talking about the blood. Kings shall shut their mouth at him, for what has not been told them they shall see, and what they have not heard they shall consider. Who has believed our report? 53. And to whom has the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground he has no form or what? Comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. It means that even though now we love Jesus, oh, I so love, how I love Jesus. No, we do like, but no, when we are singing this song, we rock Jesus. The Bible says that he did not look desirable. He looked hideous. Despicable. Like, the worst form of a human being was how our Master and Savior looked. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrow and acquainted. You know what acquainted with grief means? It's as though he has met. He was acquainted. Onim grief. Like, grief is part of his family. Like, he knows it in totus. Acquainted with grief. Talking about his rejection. And we hid. As it were, our faces from him. Nobody could, like, it was so sad. Even John could not. The rest of the other apostles, we could not. Including the Father. Had to hide his face from him. Not because he was afraid of how his son was looking, but because he had become sense. Hello. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. See, the worst form of punishment was when Jesus Christ, at that point, saw that the Father was not there. Because all the time he was going through this, he never complained. His body probably was complaining, but his mouth never ever said it, because he knew he was not alone. But when it came to that crucial moment, the Father left him. So far, are you sure? He had become sin. The Holy God cannot behold sin, even if it is his son. And the amazing part is that the moment the Lord detached himself, he knew he had not been able to take up every sin that there is upon himself. That's the reason why holiness had to separate himself. He said, it is finished. But you see, God rejecting Jesus was not whole or in totality. He rejected the sin he had become. But you see, there was still a chain or a connection that would still get Jesus Christ back to his Father. It means that when a sinner recognizes and is able to now call upon his God, no matter the distance between the sinner and God, that gap will be bridged. When Jesus Christ was giving up his goods, he said, into who? Whose hands? Who? Into your hands. He committed his spirit. He had bore the iniquity upon himself. He had become sin. He was the embodiment of all what iniquity. He had to die. And when the Lord separated himself, and it was time to give up the goods, he said, still, irrespective, irregardless, into your hands. I commit myself. If Jesus had not left his spirit in the hands of God and had died, forget Satan, if he gave that authority to you. Marco, I won't ask you. Amen. You see, how we have portrayed the cross, we have lost the power thereof. That's the reason why I told you, we don't understand the scripture that says that what? Take up your cross and follow me. Because to us, the cross, we are wearing it already. See, the cross was a great image of fear. Not fear as in being afraid of reverence. That nobody had the guts to wear it around their neck. And some of you, funny places. Try the women, very funny places. And some of you, when you are wearing an outfit, even if it's not nice, it's not appropriate, and you attach any relic of the cross to it, you think you are now saved. It's okay. It changes every dress code you are wearing. Earring, whatever, whatever, whatever. We must go back to the days where the cross still meant power to us. We must go back to the days where the cross also meant death to us. I'm telling you, When the cross, when a man meets with the pole, when a man comes and bearing his cross and he comes to meet the pole, it was a point of decision. It was a point of decision making. Anytime a man comes in contact with a cross, it was a point of decision to die or to live. The cross was also a transition unto life. You will only find it after you are on it. Hello. Nobody goes to the cross voluntarily prior to Jesus' coming. It's not who would want to go and die on the cross? No one. But afterwards, everybody, especially in those days, they were so eager to also be crucified like their master. That is why nothing held them back. Even when they were beaten, what did Peter and John say? Hey, we, me, and Ezodiaco, that I have also had the privilege to be beaten like, oh God, you are so amazing. That's somebody's testimony. That is your prayer point, but it's somebody's testimony. He's come to say a testimony. I have a testimony. You sing the Pentecostal version after he's done his work. So, brother, Ernest, what's your testimony? Just the other day, me and my brother John, we went to the temple, went to preach after we were done. They called us for the say, you people have been with Jesus. We buy you from preaching. So we know who are you to tell us what to say. We obey Jesus, we obey the Lord and not man. So okay, and then they beat all of us. If you check our back, look at our back marks. They beat all of us. And then they are waiting, so where's the testimony? That is the testimony that we can be counted worthy. You don't understand. Everybody's like, even the new believers, those who are now coming to Christ, those who are now being told that, you know, they are now being given the sinner's prayer. And they are, it's like, after this, they will now be asked, and they're like, this is what we are, not me. He shows his back. You see the way my outfit is drawn? Someone's back is like that. The pattern. Just use this one. Let's say this is blessing. This crab. This blessing. This little paniope. Hallelujah. So all the black spots is showing inside the skin where blood is. Forget crab. Showing inside where blood is. Just imagine. So when the Lord says, take up your cross and follow me, he's not telling you how to wear a new jewelry. Wear a new necklace. What is he telling you to do? Can I hear you? What is he telling you to do? Pardon? Make a decision. He's telling you to make a decision. The decision is to voluntarily decide to die. You are no longer blessed. You are no longer the person that is known all over the world as this and this. No, you are no longer that person. Galatians 2:20. Okay. That's your projection. Let me start from 19. For I through the law die to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus lives in me. And the life which I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. So now when a man is going onto the cross, the man is making a decision to go onto a place of transition. And when he enters into the cross and he dies upon the cross, the man on the cross has lost his identity, has lost his name, has lost his authority, has lost every right. Even when you're a Roman citizen and you get on the cross, you have lost your rights. You have lost your rights. So when the Lord Jesus Christ says, you, take up your cross and follow me, he's telling you, you are losing your rights. Do you know who I am? Do you know whom am I? You don't fear me? You don't know the house I come from? You are losing that right. Yeah. You were the chief prostitute in town. You are losing that right. You were the murderer everybody knew. You are losing it. And it must be a definite decision to enter. Because when you come and you join the already standing pool to yours, there's a decision that is made at the center. That is why in our hearts is where most of the amazing and big decisions are made. Where the crux meets. Haven't you realized that we have been fasting after the pattern of the cross? Before crosses were actually known mainstream, the Lord began to do everything after the order of the cross. Pattern after the order of the cross. Look at the arrangement in the book of Numbers, of his tribes. You remember? Book of Numbers, of the, how he was arranging the tribes. I think I have a video, an image of that in my Bible. People should get good Bibles, yeah? Yeah. My Bible has it. Listen. See? This is how the Lord told them to arrange themselves. The 12 tribes. What does it look like? What does it look like? You see, the most amazing part is that when you look at how the arrangements were made in the Numbers, it always depicts a cross. Yeah, that is why if you read the same book of Numbers, you listen to the account of Balaam. He said, "Behold, I see him." When he went there to curse them, instead of seeing them, he says, "I see him." Let's open that scripture. I think Numbers chapter 24. Numbers. Okay, Numbers chapter 24, verse 15. So he took up his oracle and said, "The utterance of Balaam the son of Beor, and the utterance of the man whose eyes are open, the utterance of him who hears the words of God and has the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Most High, who falls down with his eyes wide open. I see him, but not now. Hello? I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of thought." Tumult. Hallelujah. Seeing the people, you've been asked to go and curse them. But when he saw the symbol of the cross, or when he saw that they were passing after the cross, their arrangement was passing after the cross, instead of seeing a people, he saw a him. A person. Said, "Behold, I see him." That's Jacob, what's his name? Balaam and Balak. You see, the head of Benjamin, Manasseh, Ephraim, a very small portion, if you look at their number. Judah, Issachar, Zebulun form a very large assembly. And the rest on the wings are the same. So when he was about to curse, instead of the curse coming out, because you can never curse Jesus, he opens his mouth and mouth diarrhea, a blessing is coming. He opens his mouth and a blessing is coming. Then Balaam said, "Master, what's wrong?" I said, "Come and curse." He said, "Master, I'm trying." But how do you curse he who the Lord has not cursed? Because the Lord himself had taken upon the curse upon him. So the Bible says, "Cursed be the man who hangs upon a tree." He could not, the people could not be cursed. You cannot have tautology. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So now when the Lord is saying, "You sitting here right now, take up your cross," I want you to now begin to think, is it a jewelry he's telling you to take up? He's telling you, Augustine, let go of your life. Deny yourself. Some of you have very good reasons why you can't go to the cross. Today he's saying, "Go." "Lord, I'm too shy. Lord, I have a very bad history. I'm a prostitute. I'm a thief. I'm a masturbator. As for abortion, me, I've done. I've killed people." The Lord is saying, this is the time of decision making. Pick up your cross. What is your cross? See, your cross will be different from blessings. It will be different from health. It will be different from you. So the Lord says, take up your cross. You're not going to take blessings cross. You're not taking Gabby's cross. You are taking your cross. And every single person here has a cross. Every one of you. Me, my cross is a lot rough. Let me share some with you. The way I loved entertainment and party. If I knew, I would not have said it. That's just empty. Hallelujah. Yeah, me clubbing. Go after clubbing, things must happen. You understand? I was in. Hey, is that how you? What's up, Mubam? Hello. Yeah. There are some things I realized I couldn't give up. I love the world. I have plans of. There's something I can't say on camera. We're on Facebook too. Why are you laughing? Oh, you're thinking of your own cross. How wide is it? How wide is your cross? Very terrible thing. The Lord says, Ernest, you must deny yourself of all these things. Take up your cross. See, when a rich young ruler approached Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ said the same thing to him in more plain and nicer words. So go and sell everything and give back. Some of your cross is money. Yeah, though you are meticulous about excels it at coin craft tough form. Only I was said. You are making the whole prison look like it's about you. You let me move from here. So it's not like I'm. And I am in one ekasa. Okay. It is not good. Their cross is money. Their son listens to me. Their cross is their children. Nothing can separate them from their children. I'm telling you. I don't want to say certain things. Think about your cross. Is this a jewelry? The cross must cost you. What did David say? I will not give God anything that has not cost me. When the Lord was giving you a gift, he gave you something that cost him everything. His word is so powerful, but he did not just give you his word. He gave you his life. He gave you his being. And mind you, the Lord could have lost himself. He could have lost his life. He could have been corrupted by the devil. Christ could have been corrupted by the devil on earth when he came here. Yes. Some of you think that because he's God, God has put the measures in place that no matter what, he'll be in the parameter and the frame of you go through and be okay. No, when he came on earth, he was man, fully God, just as you are born again today. The way sometimes when, Hannah, masturbation, I don't want to do that. Oh, fine, let me just do one. Let me see if I have self-control. You know, I have self-control. If you have self-control, just go on and see if at the end you will stop. That's your nonsense that you have been saying. Yeah. Because when I came into Christ, I was testing myself, I have self-control. It's not a test, though. It's the devil's way of telling me, must I do it now, you want to do it. Yeah. Some people say, I've stopped having sex. It's only kissing and even smooching, because if you touch me, mostly nothing happens to me. Who can't say, where's me? Yeah, I'm online, no. No, me, nothing, me touching me, nothing happens to me. You are a fool. Straight. It's not as though there is any study. You are straight. You are. Some of us, we are still wriggling on the cross. We have been, by God's grace, come to God. We are still wriggling. Oh, pray. That's a baby who will pray. Didn't you read Regina's book, The Torch and the Sword? Right? Was it The Torch and the Sword? Visions of the Harvest, rather. So that any man who voluntarily or willingly gave themselves over for the Lord to kill him, their death was sharp, painful, but it was quick. Those who were like me when I'm taking injection. No. You want it mild. You know, if the injection was like Wi-Fi, do it. But you know, when the pain is, many of us, we fight it. When the Lord says deny us, it means that he knows who you get up. He knows your preference. He knows who you are. He knows how you think. He knows what you don't like. But he says, well, deny all that aspect and take up your cross. Do you know what deny yourself means? It means that you have access, you have right, you have demands, you have authority. You even will the power to change things, but deny it. When the Lord Jesus Christ was going to the cross, he had every power. He was the best lawyer there was. He could have said everything else that will shut the mouth of every person in the Sanhedrin. But he held himself. He denied himself. Haven't you seen the same with Paul? When he stood before the Sanhedrin, he could have said everything else that could have vindicated him. Paul held his mouth. You, small gossip, you can't write on it. All those, you know, sometimes you won't say it yourself, but you go and look for a TikTok of some girl somewhere. It's mostly like the Kumasiano girls who are speaking tree. Maybe only a bit to honor. Oh, yeah, Papa, no, you so yes, the wage me. No. You post on your status. It's not, you're not all kind of our pussy. Because you're on Facebook, I don't say certain things. Or you can post it. Hello. When the Lord says deny yourself, He knows your preferences. He knows what you ought to have. See, irrespective, let go. Let me stop using. If I say what I'm about to say, if you don't take it, you may think it's a direct prophetic word to you. Some of you, God will tell you to deny schooling, deny working, deny or denounce family, denounce businesses, denounce important things to you, and take up your cross. See, some of you think the cross is easy, and many of us today, even to last week, you say, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm born again. But then when the issue of the cross comes in, many of you reject Christ. Imagine God says, sell everything you have and bring it to my church and follow me. God, this morning, God will not say this thing. I know a man, I think I read a story of a man in South Korea. He was worth $150 million. So one day the Lord told him to sell, to close his company, put the key and documents in a drawer, write a letter and put on it. He should leave. $150 million. You can't ask him of a penny bed or too much. The Lord says, now I'll send somebody to come for the whole asset. That's the thing, you can't even say it to your wife. That you come home, your wife is blessed. Very good. Ah, sweetheart, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. How's it? So I just went to the salon and this is a crack. He pulls up both of a MasterCard and Visa card. So I just, it's okay. So the Lord is just telling me right now that we should give everything we own and go to India as missionaries. Meanwhile, that day you were even just watching persecution. Yeah, this is why. Go send them help. Go send them help. And now your husband comes to tell you this nonsense thing. $150 million. So for Elizabeth, just give it up. And mind you, the person who is coming in, so for then, we see those. Why are people laughing like you know? Those car ties, they use clippers, they carve a tie out of it. It's an one hand already, the gun to know, so they know, it tried it down. You know, Prophet Yawano? I told you this story all the time. He said, when he was going to visit his in law, his wife's husband, not of the slippers are hook, you know, the nose of the slippers are coming last. So the safety pin, a hooky. Of course, his wife is called Mawisha when they were rich. And slim, lanky mind. See, you are the horse, and of course, is willing to take one lady. And a 60 penny, and a hooky. A hooky. Also, too nice, and that's it. Ni ilo anymore. Do you know who Prophet Yawano is? Eh? Are you sure you know who he is? One of the major prophets in ICGC, Board of Directors, Holy Ghost Temple Adenta. I said, hey, now, who liar, not styler? I said, hey. I said, how the man looked at him. His heart was just broken. But the reason why I always repeat that story so much is because I relate. I don't relate to go meet my in-laws with it, but I relate to the safety pin and the woolen carpet. Yeah. I have no respect. Then such a person comes and says, the Lord says I should come and possess this. I also don't know what God is doing. You look at him. Eba. Are you willing to take up your cross? Because maybe Gabby's cross may be doing something simple that you could have been able to do if God gave that to you. Do you understand me? This man says, if God told him not to marry, it's not a cross. It's not a cross. If God told him not to marry, me, if God told me, hey, God, may he bless me. Why? Why me? Lord, why me? See, I'm calling you as a television. No, Lord. Lord, no. Why me? Hey, there's some. Me, I don't know anybody again. You're calling as a celibate. Embarrassed. You see, in 2018, I even thought I was being called as a celibate. I said before Barasadu, he said, young man, God is not calling as a celibate. You used to have feelings for women? I said, yes, Papa. You are not. You are not. Marry your wife. When are you getting married? I said, oh, I'm believing. He said, hey, tell me when you are getting married. I said, ah, okay. Flash the nonsense out of my mind. So the cross of Gabby. It could be easy for blessing to bear. But God knows the cross that blessing ought to bear. And he gives that cross to her. In the cross of Paul, the Lord said that you, Paul, you are a promising, young, astute lawyer. Coming into the Sanhedrin as an astute Pharisee, respected in the society. You also have a thriving global business of making tents for military garrisons. I want you to take it all. Throw it out. Then now come and follow me. And your job description is to suffer for my sake. Suffer. Your job description is that you shall suffer for my sake. How many of us would listen? Then Paul stands and says, the life that I live, no longer I. When a man enters the cross, like I said, when he loses his identity, priest jumps onto that wood. But when he's on that wood, he's no longer that person. And mind you, anybody who willingly goes to the cross is resurrected. You are changed into a new person. That person dies, but a new being erupts out of it, emerges out of it, with a new identity. And that identity, it is always synonymous to the next person who also went to the cross. It's the same. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, whenever a man enters on the, or goes to the cross, there is always a remains of Jesus upon the old cross that leaches onto him. That reminds me, I was here too. The same way I got out of here, you too shall come out of this place. The same way I did not remain upon the cross, you too will not remain on the cross. You shall resurrect unto a new life. And from today, you are no longer that person who was persecuted and despised. You are getting out of this place a new man. That's what Paul says, no longer I. It's not me again. He died and he's risen in Christ Jesus. Today, God is calling us onto a day of death. He's calling us to the cross. I want you to not think about your own cross. Some of you think you have no cross. Me, I have a cross, I know. My cross is not even my ministry. Some of you think that the ministry God has given you is your cross. It's not. It may not be, sorry. It may be just that one thing you don't want to give up. Deny yourself that and come and follow me. The Lord Jesus Christ came and said, don't marry, though you have made all these plans. What would you say? You have gotten your admission. UK, fully funded scholarship. This is what I'm saying, I'm afraid. You present it, and the Lord says, no. Don't. It's not God. And come and follow me. Mind you, all these things come with a demand. And follow me. God does not do these things for no reason. I don't know why he says, no. He does not leave the agenda. Do it. Deny yourself. Come and follow me. Self-denial is the most difficult. It's like somebody who has all the kung fu skills. And somebody comes to threaten you and they say, don't use your kung fu in public. And they are beating you. Oof, master, you know everything. You can beat everybody. So don't use it in public. And they are beating you to the point of death. And you are still looking to the rules that says, do not use this in public. That's what self-denial is. That's the reason why superheroes are always respected. They deny them. See, if you are a superhero, me, if I was Iron Man, Spider-Man, whoever, Batman, or I had invisibility, will I fight crime? No. How will I fight? Banks. Appear, Bank of Ghana. Bank of Ghana is not enough money. Central Bank of America. Because you, if you have such, you don't waste your time in Bank of Ghana. You understand? Central Bank of America. Wow. A stack of 10 billion, you just hold it, boom, you appear in your house. Look at the way to have land. With such power comes such response, such restraint. He could have. They can't have a better life, but they choose not to. So now, in the same manner, the Christian who comes onto the cross, they could have had a better, peaceful, in quote, life, what the world gives. But the Lord says, deny yourself and come for the turbulent one which is of the cross. When the Lord Jesus Christ is calling us onto the cross, he's not calling us to wear it as a badge, as a tattoo, a symbol of pride. It's a symbol of total surrender. A symbol of total denial. A symbol that should always and constantly remind you that the journey that you have decided to go through is a journey full of pain and trials. Many of us, we have painted a cross as well. Huh. The cross is like my salvation, it's like my this. No. The cross is a promise of suffering. Just take up your cross and follow me. But at the end of that cross comes the most amazing of all authority. Haven't you realized that men who give themselves even in their hearts, in their minds, and their thoughts before going to the cross, like nothing could persuade them again. Look at Stephen when he was being stoned. Nothing could persuade a man. Look at Peter, walking back majestically to the cross. Nothing. Paul, to the extent that he was now finding every means and ways just to get to the cross. To the extent that when he got to Caesar's house, Nero, Emperor Nero, the one who wants to kill everybody, there he had a church in Caesar's court. In his house. Meanwhile, Christianity was outlawed. He had a church in Caesar's house. It's like, you know, you are begging to die. I don't know. Is that you want to die? Hello? And the cross is not a beautiful wood like the way we see it today. It's mostly sun-dried and patched wood. The day the cross began to receive authority and power was the day the Savior and our Master hung on that cross. And the day that he was removed from that cross, died and resurrected. Every single person who ever caught himself and his knees to Calvary entered into a portal unto salvation. The cross that day became a portal unto salvation. And when a man gets to that place, it's always a point of a decision. When you are able to just walk out to the streets of Calvary and go to the base of the cross, every single person is met with a decision to die or to live. To do what? To die or to live. And any man who chooses to save his life shall do what? And the man who voluntarily chooses to enter the cross shall do what? Gain it. Shall gain his life. So there are many people who think they are living but they are dead. And there are many who have walked to Calvary. People have mocked. People have tried to stop them. But actually they were walking onto life. Me. I was told to go and do nursing. Nursing. Why? Because in abroad, nursing pays. My uncle said they wanted to let a white woman come and marry me. I was 16. I said, okay. Then it did not work. He said he wants to adopt me. It did not work. So okay. Then when I finished Esther, they said they want to now let me come and do nursing. I said, I don't want nursing. I want to do IT. Then I said, I can't do nursing. They said, I'm disrespectful, I'm rebellious. It was those days they would stone me, they left my life for me. Then, by some strange and bizarre way, I had an encounter with the Lord. When I had an encounter with the Lord, and the Lord opened up a door, he said, you come. The same thing that you wanted to do now, I'll give you the air to go and do. So I went to school and I went to do management. That sounds a different thing on a different day. And when I went there to do management, when I was done, in fact, level 300, the Lord now came to me. Young man, how are you? Are you enjoying school? I said, I'm enjoying it very well. So, okay. Are you sure you're enjoying it? I said, yes, sir. So, okay, when you are done, I want that certificate. For what? I asked the Lord, for what? So I want that certificate. Lord, are you aware I'm the SRC president of this school? Look at me. Who made you? Are you aware that I have presidential ambitions of the nation, of the land? Good. I'm glad you have that ambition. But I need a certificate when you're done. I fought it in my head. 2016, I'm in UA school. 2018, I was making this certificate name. So I'm like, what if Anyeji, this Christmas, witness with nobody to giving offering, nobody even meets me and say, oh, man of God. The person who even meets is giving sometimes 15 to the 70 pesos. So for who can be see? About just 30 people were giving tithes. And when you open a tithe, you know, your heart just ached because the minister was on his money. Like, Italy. The God said, I need a certificate. Do you know when I was about to leave school? The registrar told me that, see, the way I am, and they've not seen somebody who is like that. I have a very good command over my position, and I also know how to talk to them well. So they were considering giving me an employment in the executive wing. Executive wing is where the presidents and the vice presidents were. Then the school vice president then, the one who was ousted very recently, he said that once I need any recommendation for any job, I should come to him directly. He'll make a few calls. So, wow. I heard all these things. And I said, why? Oh God, is it that God is testing if I agree? Let me just agree. So I told God, okay. But in my heart, my M and I say. So I was doing word in the street, all right. You know, my internship, I did in word in the street. My national service, I did word in the street. I have my ID card, I can show it to you. Everything word in the street. Because in my thinking, oh, I'm in ministry. But in my heart, I still made it that if I knew here, I have somewhere to go to. I have my degree. Okay, actually, don't write it on it. You don't write it on it. So I did national service, by the way. Where? In word in the street. Where? On the street. Hello. Yeah. It was so difficult because I had come from a family where every single family member had rejected. Now, when I thought that I had arrived in school, I've gotten a good opportunity to now enter school. Now, God now comes and says, oh, give it to me. Bear this, if you can bear this cross. See, it took a lot out of me because, one, I was pressing with people, I was hungry, I was eating crumbs. Lord said, take up your cross and follow me. I said, Lord, I am too smart. I know I can pass many interviews. Let me just go and try. So I can have something to give up. The Lord said, no, give me your certificate. In 2018, after school of the prophet, I came back to my wife. I said, babe, sit down. I want to do something. I took my certificate. I saw it. The Lord wants me to do this. Fully serve him. He said, oh, okay. She took it. Throw. I was like, yours is there. Throw. When you finish, so I was going to now keep it as a memorial or something. She just took my certificate. Awful. Can I share then? As we speak now, Bibi Bakker is still, oh, we need a degree for something, don't forget. I don't have. God needed me to come before him and make a decision. He did not push me to make a decision. I had to be brought to the feet of Calvary. Make your decision. Many of you have been brought to Calvary. You are marking time at one place, refusing the decision because it is a place of death, a place of self-denial. It's not a nice place. It's a place where you'll be vulnerable. Glory, I'm talking to you. You'll be very vulnerable. Jesus Christ was very vulnerable. Before then, God showed it to you. He said, Lord, if it were possible, let this cup pass over me. The Lord said, nah, you ain't going to pass. You're going to go. Many of you are afraid to be vulnerable. You are too strong for God. Yeah. Take up your own cross. Take up your own cross. It's going to defeat every single thing you know, but it's still denied. I tell you that many people here, the reason why you cannot even give all your all to God is because you think God is not capable of doing it for you. He can do it for Osofo Gabi, but he cannot, probably will not do it for you. Hey, you hear such testimony of how God has done for us. Wow, it's only God. But not me. That's why he did not say take up his cross. He said take up yours. If only you had taken yours, Prince probably would have thought that, it will be difficult for me to do my own. But because you have not, that's why you envy his. Some of you think that, hey, child, that's not for your own. Yeah, it's just that you, see, you didn't enter any corporate environment. So when God says leave it, it's easier for you to be there. Be there. I'm supposed to say he's carrying his. It's about to go. The operating is missing for him. Dear madam, I quit. What explanation again? I quit. One day he read it to his boss. The boss was saying, if he sees, he missed one. Hello. Yeah. Please, I'm not saying somebody's going to quit their job. If somebody will be thinking of something, the way you are speaking, it's like God. No, it's not God. When God speaks, you know. And when I speak, you know. Now I'm speaking. But God may be telling you of a different cross. This is the cross that was over the head of Mary Magdalene. You know how long she has saved for that alabaster box. It was all her life savings, worth. He said it was a year's wage. You know what a year's wage is? Right now, how much is a year's wage in America or in Israel? About $90,000. You know, here with mostly multinational companies, they pay you, they give you an accumulation of your salary in a year, but they still pay monthly. So you realize somebody is paid $120,000 for a year. Maybe $40,000 a year. So that value was what she was hoping and keeping for herself. One day the pressure was just too much. She had to come to Calvary at the feet of Jesus. If she had just poured it, she broke it at his feet and anointed the man. You know the worst part? After the oil touched the ground, it had no use again. She could not salvage it. She could not salvage it. That's why he pained Judas. All your way. You could have sold this. She had kept it meticulous. Some of us, and we have hey God, and I say this well. We are saving something for later. At the time, the later time that you are saying, God is saying, take it and go and give it for this. Take it and go and give to this. Hey, Joy, so sorry. You could be saving it up, God says. The moment that you think you are a God, now take it. Go and give it to my ministry. Go and give it to this person. Go and use it for this reason. You know, like, one woman came to me and said that she's just been feeling that she wants to empty a bank account and come and give it to her. I said, please, stop feeling and go and ask God. I don't want to do anything rash. Because all the money is there, it can't go back. Nothing comes in and goes back. Have you seen anything enter the shoebox and come out? No. So there's a wicked way who find a way to open it. Like blessing. You open their mouth. Yeah. This story, hey, I'll tell you today. Hallelujah. Tonight, what is the cross that you are meant to carry? What is the cross that you are meant to carry? The cross is not a symbol of pride. It's a symbol of death. And see, for the Christian, death is not actually loss. So death is what gain. Can you imagine Paul sitting down and say, I am deciding whether I should die or I should live. But for your sake. Hey! Ghana Christians cannot say this. Me from anon kanami wu. Where's if you're a Nigerian? Do you want to die? God forbid. I will never die. I will live to declare God. Hey, sister. Easy. God cannot do that. No, it's this. He will quote every faith-based declaration. Just because you have mentioned death, they will still die. Hello. I want you to rise to your feet. What is your particular cross? Think about it. Please, can you move all the chairs? No, the rest of you, no, just let some of the boys just kind of move the chairs. If you just put your bag beside you, let them move the chairs. What is your cross? What is it that the Lord wants you to deny? If any man wishes to come after me, he did not say if the qualified men. He just threw the bracket so wide. If any man, anyone wishes to come after me, he could be a king, he could be a slave, a student, a thief, a prostitute, a harlot, whatever. If only he is a man or a woman and he desires in his heart to come after me, let him take up his cross. Please come this way. If any man, if anyone wishes to come after me, how many of us here wishes to come after Jesus? Don't answer me. Think about it. If you truly wish to come after Jesus, or you just want to be part of his church, you just want to attend and go back, but you truly want to come after him. See, do you know what come after a man means? As he's running, you are also running. He came after him. As in, when he takes a step, he's taking a step. Do you know where his steps ended him? On the cross. Are you willing? He says, don't come to the cross alone. Come with yours. Emily, are you willing to come at him, after him, bearing your own cross? Are you willing? Think about it. It will cost you so much that many of you are not willing to give up. Tonight, I pray that you will come to the place of making a decision. You have wavered between too many decisions and odds. Tonight is the time. Stop wavering and die. Too many excuses. God says die. Even when the cross became heavy, it was given to another man to aid Jesus. Yet he still took it at a point and finished it. No matter what, and a man decides, he must fully go ahead to Calvary. Tonight, Calvary presents itself before you again. Would you prefer to wear it upon your neck, or you prefer the cross to wear you? Do you prefer to wear the cross, or the cross should wear you? Do you want to be on the cross, or you just want to hold the cross, let people know, I'm a Christian too? That decision point is here tonight. See, it will be so painful, for you to hear this message, and that's not really entering into your heart. Make a mockery of the cross of Jesus. What is it that he's asking you to deny and come after him? See, my wife and I, we love our privacy. We love the kind of life that we would have had without everybody else in the house. But Lord says, no, that life is not for you. It's not for you. The amazing part, because we willingly give ourselves for it, it's not so easy. I don't think the two of us can live in a house. It's not because we don't love each other. We love each other so much, but we still want people there. In the beginning, it was so difficult for us. Thinking about how we're going to feed them. How we're going to do this. What if, some of them also will have an attitude that we probably will not like. How are we going to deal with that? The Lord says, regardless, it is a cross you must bear. We took it up. Today, we enjoy that cross. We enjoy that new life. The old Ernest and the old Elizabeth will never ever have done that. And no longer we who live. No longer. No longer. What is it about you? Know how difficult it is, to take out your cross. Some of you have received very serious instructions, but it's difficult for you to take that step because you know it will cost you. It's difficult. We want God to revise his instructions for you. But God is God. He changeth not. He changeth not. Would you want to wear the cross, or you want to be worn on the cross? The Lord Jesus is no longer on the cross. He has left it, but he has left that mark on the cross. That anytime a man decides to come to Calvary, a part of him still is on the cross. When you join your cross to his at the cross, you become one with him in death. And you rise up a new man. Ah. The same way fish needs water to survive, the same way we also need Christ to survive. It is in him that we come up. We find our being, we live, we move, we do everything. It is in him. You cannot live outside of him. And the only way to get to him is through the cross. You cannot pass beside it, around it. It is only through the cross. I wonder how you claim to be a Christian, yet you have never ever felt the weight of the cross. Some of you don't even know the weight of the cross. How were you a Christian? You are still okay with masturbation. How? You are okay fornicating. Till today, you don't know what is holy. Many of us, I listen to some of you, I look at some of your WhatsApp status, I'm like, wow. The music that you have playing on some of the things that are normal for you. I say, wow. The things that you post, some, the outfits of people, other friends and girls that you follow, like, hey, wow. This is not a person who has felt the weight of the cross. I was telling Pastor Kava or my wife, that, you see, there are some things that our women will never do. They will never wear some indecent outfit. But they will post one of their friends on their birthday. Very indecent. And I tell myself, they are living your life for you. You just cannot do it because Pastor Ernest is watching your status. Tonight is truly the night. Tonight is the night to make that decision. I don't know for you. See, every single time when you realize that you have left the cross, go back. Bible says, deny yourself. Go back. Too many of you, I think many of you here, you just left the cross. You know about the cross. You have never been on the cross. You don't know how heavy it is on your shoulders. You don't know how heavy. Let me tell you something. When they beat or scourge them so much, they beat them to the extent that it's... You see how the cross is? You know, most of the time, they depict as the nails in his hand, and then he's hanging. You know that it is almost impossible to crucify somebody that way, scientifically. Yeah. Archaeologists say that they found a man who made them believe that crucifixion was truly there. And in the skeleton of the man, they found holes on his legs and his hands. And the remains and how he realized that they crucified him. When they simulated, they realized that it was not necessarily how we painted. They put him like this, his leg, on the sides of the cross this way, side and side. And they nail it through. So the whole time he's like this on the cross, and this way. Point nails through his hands and tie his arms there. And every single time he wants to draw breath, it's the most painful thing ever. His lungs are fractured by the beatings and it's being filled with blood. So how to breathe? Anytime he drew one breath, he was so on the cross. Every single breath he had to draw was like that. You think the cross was just easy? One breath was like as difficult as that. His lungs were full of blood. Fractured. And he was hanging his weight upon these nails and little ropes. Some of them, they even did not hit here. They nailed through their what? Ankle. Here. They nailed it through. And when they are dead, and they are taking them down, it is useless to destroy the wood. So they just pull the leg from the nail. Because you are dead, your body is wasted already. So they just pull it this way. Now, see, when your relatives are there, it's difficult to do that. Many of us, to us, the cross is a relic. You have really nothing. Some of us have accepted Christ, but we have not accepted the cross. We have not been on the cross. See, a Buddhist can accept Christ, though. Didn't you hear Gandhi said, our Christ he likes, but not the Christians. A Buddhist can say this, or a Hindu can say this. He likes the personality, the Muslims accept Christ. They just don't accept the cross. They don't accept the fact that, see, the cross is not a nice thing. Why would anybody want to go on the cross? No. The reason why people also have accounts of the gospel being true is that nobody in his rightful mind will go to the cross, but Christians did on account of a man's name. You know what I fear so much? Tonight, this message will die with some of you. If you know the magnitude of you standing, the cost that is placed upon your head. On account of Christ, are you willing that you shall bear the cross? You don't have to do it because I'm watching. You don't have to do it because of me. Far from it. I can die tonight and go. But you have to do it because of Christ. You have to do it because of Christ Jesus. Because he has first shown you the way. I'm telling you, you have more than four children. You have three brothers and two brothers. God had none. He had just one. Yet he gave. You can't lose your friends. Hey, if you stop being fun, they will leave you. If you stop doing this, your boss will do this. If you stop doing that, this one will do this. Everybody will think that now I'm boring. You have not yet lived. Everybody who thinks that in Christ is boring, the person has not yet, you are still living in the world. You are still living. Me, I don't think anywhere else is as fun as being in Christ. Never. If your reason for coming is to find solace and entertainment, I'm sorry, this is the wrong place. Because for here, your shoulders are meant to bear the cross. Some of you ought to be like that woman and break. Not like the woman, but break that alabaster. Be that alabaster, but that's broken at his feet. Nothing and worthless. The value of the alabaster box was nothing unless it was met at the feet of Calvary. Tonight, be that box. Break! Say, Lord, forgive me. I've been running away from the cross all these years. I need to come back. Tonight, I want to carry it. I'm talking to you. You know the Lord is talking to you. You know he's talking to you. When a man encounters the cross, you don't need much words of persuasion. He's talking to you. God bless you. It's the time to surrender to him. The Lord fashioned us in like pattern. It's the time of surrender. No man of his own accord shall surrender to the cross except a man dead to himself. Tonight, may God find a man or a woman who says, tonight I'm just too tired. I give up. I walk boldly to Calvary. I know it's going to be painful, but I would love this than the life that I live. Many of you have never lived until you enter the cross. I'm telling you. You are not living until you encounter the cross. Paul says, the life that I now live, the same person who was crucified, how is he living now? I'm telling you, there's a doorway, an access. It is only possible through the cross. Not accept Jesus, but deny his cross. Time. I want to make an altar call. Listen to me carefully. If you are here, as you know, the Lord has been asking you to deny yourself and take up his cross. Yet you yourself have been a resistance and a barrier to the cross. Come and kneel down here. Let's pray. Listen carefully. I don't want you to obey religiously. It is a decision that I'm telling you that if you are going to take this decision, you are going to live your life by it, surrender. Anybody who walks there is telling me and every single person in front of Christ Jesus that you are surrendering. The you we know is no longer. If you were an addict of sex, you are no longer. If you were a thief, you are no longer. If you were a liar tonight, you are no longer. If you are one who gives excuses, you are no longer. If you are a person who loves to procrastinate, you are no longer. You are denying yourself. If you rise up from here, you are the same man. It means you left. You came for just a ritual. Christ knows. Walk up to me. Kneel down. Abba has seen it. The Lord is waiting for you. The Lord is waiting for you to make that conscious decision of denying yourself. See, you are telling every single person here, including yourself, bearing yourself witness, you are no longer that person that you saw yourself before here. You have made a solemn decision before Christ Jesus that you are willing to bear the cross voluntarily. And that tonight, you desire of a particular death from Him. Don't do it on my account. Because you think I expect you here. No. I expect nobody here. I don't judge anybody. It's not because maybe you probably think I know who you are. I know your past. Far from it. If you are here and this decision is solely and fully yours, you want to open your mouth and truly tell God what you know your cross is. Open your mouth. I don't need to hum it. Speak it out unto Him. He is here bearing you witness. If you cannot, rise up and go. You know what He's asking you to give up. You know what He abhors. You know what is unholy before Him. You know that difficult thing for you to give up. He's telling you tonight, give it up. Yeah. Where words cannot, tears is okay.
From within me, Spirit, you take over. Holy fire, burn upon my.
Those of you here, just keep praying.
Holy fire, burn upon my altar. From within me, Spirit, you take over. Holy fire, burn upon my altar. Holy fire.
Are you not tired of the excuses? Tired of the reasons why God should give you extra time, more time?
Holy fire, burn upon my altar. Holy fire. Holy,
you see, the cross is an instrument of death. Have you just, don't you realize that it was set in the form of a sword? Tonight, allow the cross to pierce you. Let it pierce deep into your heart. Let it cut deep. Let it cut into your ventricles. Bleed it out. Speak it out. Don't kneel down here and hold back. Pray. Tell Him. Speak to Him. Speak to Him. You must see how your life is now and see what it can be with Him. Which are you willing to receive? Which are you willing to receive?
I cannot do it by myself.
The cross. All your life.
Unless you take over. Take over. Jesus, take over. Take over. Take over. Take over. Jesus, take over. I cannot do it by myself. Unless you take over. I cannot do it by myself. Unless you take over. Take over. Spirit, take over.
Tell him.
Take over. Spirit, take over. I cannot know you by my
name.
Unless you take over.
Those of you online,
I cannot do it.
What cross has he asked you to bear?
You take over.
That you keep denying. The Lord say, you deny yourself.
I cannot give it.
Deny yourself tonight.
Unless you take over. Take over, Spirit, take over.
Deny yourself tonight.
Take over, Spirit, take over.
Thank you, Lord.
I cannot do it on my own.
I don't just want to wear the cross.
Unless you take over.
I want to be on it, Lord.
I cannot know you by my
side. I am willing to let go.
Unless you take
even if it is my career, even if it is my family,
take over,
to take the hinterlands, the byways, and the highways, wherever you have need of me, I am willing.
Take over, take over.
Lord, I come before you to Calvary.
I cannot do it on my own.
Before I leave here tonight,
unless you take over,
let the me I know die.
I cannot do it by myself. Unless you take over.
Those of us here, kneeling down. Ask the Lord to disfigure you. To destroy the image you are used to of yourself. The person you are used to. Ask the Lord Himself to destroy this one with a cross. Let Him pierce deep within your heart with His sword, the sword of the cross. Let Him cut where it hurts the most.
Let them flow, oh, in ceaseless prayer. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee.
Come, Hastayano.
Take my moment and my day. Oh, let them flow. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moment and my day. Let
says that if I be lifted up, I shall draw all men unto myself. Many of you think that you will lose a lot when you walk onto Calvary, but I tell you of the truth. The man who says that when he's lifted up, just as the serpent was lifted up in the desert, if only you allow yourself to be crucified of sight, to die of sight, to be lifted up, he says that he shall draw all men, not some men, all men. All that you think you are losing, you receive them in the life that it actually ought to be. Many more. The Lord was telling Peter, whatever they lose for his sake, they shall gain it on earth and even more. After, it includes your life. as you decide to lose it, Christ will give you a new life. As you decide to bear this cross and to die with this cross, newness is coming to you. The decision is the most difficult thing, though. The decision. There's someone here, you are still battling with it. The Lord is telling you to release. Just let it go. I know you are strong. I know. But die. I know. Just die. See, the easiest way to die is just to surrender. Don't even seek an easy death. Just surrender. Mana mahasula vehesu.
To be, take my voice.
You not rise up from this place without a concrete decision and a plan to follow after this cross. I tell you that any man who encounters the cross comes to a place of decision making. Before you rise up from this floor or this place, you must make a decision. And it is important to make a decision that you have a witness to.
Take my silver and my gold.
Make a decision tonight.
Lord, am I will withhold. Take my feet and use every part. As you choose, take my will.
Pastor Stephen, please come and pray.
For whatever desires and whatever things God has placed on you, demanded on you to let go, to carry your cross tonight, I pray that every grace you will ever need,
yes,
to be able to walk in that calling,
yes,
will be given to you tonight.
In the name of Jesus.
May God grant you every grace, grace that sustains people amidst decisions like this. I pray that grace God will grant it to you. You will not lack that grace. That as you rise up and as you go up and down, and as men see you and expect you to be like the one they knew, I pray that grace will still be upon you. That inside your heart, the fear of God will keep inside your heart the promises of God to be seen. I pray that He will order your steps. I pray that He will align your will, your desires, your emotions to His will. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will come to the point where you say to the Lord that if it demands death, I am more willing to go.
Yes, Lord.
I pray in the name of Jesus that necessity be placed on you. I pray henceforth in the name of Jesus that the burden to walk with God, the burden to walk in His calling, the burden to carry the cross will be your desire. It will delight you in the name of Jesus. It will be a delight that your daily workings and your hunger for His work, I pray in the name of Jesus, will be precipitated by the grace that is placed on you tonight. May He draw you into that call. And as you receive that call, I pray that He will align. May God perfect His counsel over your life. I pray you won't come to the place of regret, but you come to the place of delight. That you will delight in this also. Apostle Paul said, not only am I willing to suffer for the cross, but I'm also willing to die for Him. What shall we receive? What shall we render? What shall we gain? If we gain this whole world and lose our soul, I pray that God will satisfy you even in this cross, that you will delightfully carry it and show the world how much you love God. I pray that you will delight in this cross, that as men look despising it, I pray that you will take delight, knowing that one of these days, when the trumpets are sound, and the Bible says that the dead in Christ rises, you will not be ashamed to meet your master. The Lord satisfy you. The Lord satisfy you. And the Lord help you. I pray that God will help you. I pray that the Lord will help you. The Lord will help you as you carry this cross. May the Lord strengthen your spirit man, and the Lord strengthen your inner man. May the anointing of God and the Holy Ghost be your constant helper and your constant reminder, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you glory for the lives of these ones. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to rise. Listen to me. Don't assume that I know what the Lord wants you to give up or to deny or to carry. I don't know. Even if you have discussed with me before, I probably don't think it. Are you all hearing me? I want you all to make a decision. Write it. I said what? Write it. Such decisions, you need a witness. What did I say? You need a witness. Many of you will not do, some of you will not do it. Yeah, because it may not be sincere. But it's sincerely what you have done before every one of us. To actually deny yourself, take up the cross of Christ Jesus. Put it into writing. Say from today, I, Emilia, I, Malco, this is my decision to do this. When I decided to give my certificate up, the Lord told me alone, but I took a witness. This story, if I was sharing it alone, my wife was not here. My wife did not see it. I've not seen a certificate, but I don't think he has done that. But there was a witness. Are you hearing me? That's why baptism is done as a public declaration. It's done as a witness. In the same manner, in this decision, you need a witness. Put it in writing. Send it to me. Hello? I said what? I hold it in confidence. Send it to me. Because me, I'll hold you to it as well. Yeah, if I'm a leader over you, if I'm a shepherd and a pastor over you, that is also my responsibility. That you came here and you knelt down, this is what you said. You did this and you did that, this is what you said. You must not deny God. You must not go back. You know how difficult it is every time to come and minister here. You know how, what other things I could be doing, what other things you could have been doing that you are here. Don't waste your time. These decisions are not cheap. You are online. People are looking at you. Ex-boyfriends, people you owe, people know you. Don't waste it. It's not a theatrical thing you are doing here. Hallelujah. So if you are truly making this decision, make it concrete before God. Put it in writing. I said what? And ask the Holy Spirit to be the ultimate master witness before you. And let Him help you attain, walk in that grace. Attain that perfection. Attain that work of the cross.